This is Trainer Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Fasig Tipton.
But it was all for Shug McGee. Super Saver wins the Derby for Todd Pletcher.
The result will give trainer Steve Asmussen career win number 6,000.
It was all have another for Doug O'Neill.
Oxbow and D-Wayne Lucas. Trainer D-Wayne Lucas, a sixth win.
And Al's Rosie is going to give trainer Gary Contessa his 2,000th career win.
And dialed in, never got to them. It was Animal Kingdom for Graham Motion.
Steve Hobby with career victory number 1,000 at Oaklawn.
Now here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the show trainers listen to. This is Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, happy to be with you for the next hour all across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, and of course streaming live or podcast on our HRRN website. You're listening there at horseracingradio.net. Well, today's guest is still riding high after saddling his first career graded stakes winner this past Friday at Belmont Park. But his success really should come as no surprise, as the native of Peru has been around horses his entire life. He spent time as a jockey in Peru and Chile, riding approximately, 350 winners or so. He did pretty well before coming to the United States 17 years ago in 2004. He has learned from some of the best, including Anthony Dutrow, Rusty Arnold, and the late John Ward. He worked as an exercise rider for each of those individuals and others too. We'll talk about that as we move throughout the hour this morning. I think you are really going to enjoy his story. Please join me in welcoming trainer Juan Arregada to Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Juan, welcome, my friend.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to come in your program, Mike.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear your story. It's such a great story, going all the way back to when you were growing up in Peru, and we're going to talk about that. But I really think we need to start by looking back on last Friday at Belmont Park and that huge win in the Grade 3 Bed of Roses. Tell me more about that.
I mean, I can't explain you. I mean, it was such a great day, and for me, I'm a little trainer. I just have 4 years training horses, and go to New York and be in Belmont for first time like a trainer and win the race, a Grade 3. It was something very special.
It didn't come easy, though. I'm going to try and get the last name right, too. Talentoso? Did I get it right?
Yes. I mean, I want to transfer in English. It's like talented style.
Talented style. She did it in style, too. She didn't win by a wide margin. She only won by a neck. I can imagine as she's making that run down the stretch that moment is one you're always going to remember.
It was pretty excited race, because and the half mile pole, between the half mile pole and the 3A pole, I start to get a little scared, because the track, I don't know if you saw that in the paddock, Mike, they delayed the race because it was raining and thunder. It was pretty bad. It was in pretty bad shape, the track. And I mean, I guess for horses to running with a track like that, gotta be no easy. And thank God she did it.
When you finally saw her cross the finish line, how long did it take you to know that it was her neck in front, that she had won?
Mike, I was pretty confident when I saw the horse in the last couple jump. I knew that I got it. I knew that I got it because she's more consistent, and the last couple time. The last couple races that she have, she have a post little for inside. So to that day, I told Javier, I said, Javier, don't wait for me to give you no instruction because you already know the horse, you know what to do, and I leave you the horse up to you. So he told me, thank you, Juan. But I knew that I got it. I mean, the last couple jump, I knew it.
She had been really close in some big races her past few starts. She was second in the Grade 3 Barbara Fritchie at Laurel back in February, second in the Grade 1 Madison at Keeneland back in April, third behind Gamine in the Derby City Distaff at Churchill back on May 1st on Derby Day, and now she put it all together and finally breaks through. How proud of you, Juan, are you of this filly?
You know, Mike, can I tell you something? I'm a horseman. I come in, whatever I do in, like, training horses, I come in from family. My grandfather used to train horses. My father training horses. My uncle training horses. We come in from family, you know? So this thing that happened to me with this filly is something very special, because this year she made me travel for so many beautiful places, you know, like when I come into Laurel, I know that was the winter time. It's nothing that you really enjoy too much when it's cold, but still, you know, coming to Laurel, she was supposed to run in a Saturday. They canceled the race for the bad weather. And so they called me, the racing office from Laurel, they called me like 30 minutes after the race to tell me, say, Juan, please stay. We want to cover your expenses, the hotel, everything. I want that you stay with us and running the next week. So finally we're running. She's running really good. And after that, go to Keeneland, you know, and such a beautiful racetrack and see the best horses in United States, the best trainers, the best jockeys, and be in that spot. It was very, very exciting. And not only that, she's running really good, you know. So after that, I went to Kentucky Derby Day, and it was beautiful. I mean, the stuff I've been living with the horse, everything. I mean, I can't explain you. It was a bless. Can I tell you something like that? It's too much for me.
Yeah, very, very special, and it's all about the horse and all about family for my special guest here on Trainer Talk, who is Juan Arregada. We're going to spend plenty of time talking about his family and his – there are so many different ways we can go with that story, too, and we will later in the program. Juan, this particular filly, and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to pronounce her name just because I like it. I think I can say it now. Estilio Talentoso. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This filly did not begin her career with you. She, believe it or not, began in a maiden claiming race. You were not the trainer that day. You started training her in her second start. Tell me the story of how she came into your barn.
No, I borrowed a horse, Mike. The first start was with me, too.
Okay, so I see that. I see that you did purchase her. At least that's what I thought I was looking at. But then when I went back and looked at the chart of her first start, it does not have you listed as the trainer back on January 12th of 2020.
Yes, I borrowed the filly, Mike, in
April
2019 in Ocala, in the OBS.
Yeah, I am mistaken. It does have you. I looked at the wrong thing. So, yeah, my mistake. So, okay, so you purchased her. Tell me about the first time you laid eyes on her.
The thing is, Mike, what happened, how I am a claiming trainer, sometimes I want to tell you the truth. I never told that she can be a superstar, if I can put that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it, that she can be a good filly, but I never thought that she can be, like, race by race, be running better and better. In the beginning, what happened, Mike, when I went to the sale, I bought two horses. I bought this filly, and I bought another horse by Quality Road. So babies, when they start to like breathing in the bikini, it's way much better when they go in company, when they breathe together, because they learn how to running, you know, and they do stuff together. So the company from this filly, it was very slow. So every time I used to breathe with the filly in company with the colt, and the jockey used to tell me, say, Juan, she is much the best. Next time we have to do something different. So finally, I decided to run it for 16,000, take a shot. And when I told him to the paddock, she was like 10 to 1 or 12 to 1. And one of my owners, It was in the races in Tampa that day. And he asked me, he said, Juan, what do you think about your filly? And I said, Mike, I don't think that she will get beat today. And he said, but Juan, she is 10 to 1. I said, go and bet it because she be tough in this race. And she should win that day. But, you know, sometimes you bad trip, you know, she broke a little slow. And she still, one more jump, she should win the race. And after that, little by little, she started running races tougher and tougher. And always, if you see the form, she always says 1-2-3.
Yeah, it's incredible. She has never been worse than third in 14 career starts. And now she is a grade three winner. To be around, and I know, Juan, you've been around a lot of good horses, but to be around a horse like this that is so consistent, and every time you put a saddle on her, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get her best effort. How special is that for a trainer?
I mean, Mike, it's something that you don't see very often, horses like that. You know, it doesn't matter what trainer, you know, are you talking. You don't see very often horses like pretty consistent like her. You know, she is a horse like from the first start. She's a money maker. You know, she always make money. So if I tell you the truth, she is very special for me. I mean, I think I will never forget this horse, never.
It took her 6 tries to finally win her first race. She broke her maiden at Gulfstream June 17th of last year. When a horse tries so hard like this, Juan, and every time she shows up, she runs her race, but she doesn't quite get there. When she finally puts it all together and gets that first win, are you kind of like a proud parent, a proud father, when they finally break through and win that first race?
You know, Mike, I thought that she, every single race that she's running before, I thought that she always, I thought that she can do better. She can be better than whatever she used to be. Like, you know, I knew that she was a nice filly. But some horses, I think, they take a little while, you know, can be like, when the horses get a little old sometimes, you know, the horses when they are more mature, probably, you know. And because you see the races, when she won the stake, the little stake in Gulfstream, it was a little stake for 60,000. Somebody from Billy Madburn, they tried to buy this filly for 225. And
okay,
she don't bet him. Something, it was wrong, you know, some kind of the races that they did it. And finally, they decide to don't buy the horse and keep it and leave the horse with me. So I give it like 45 days, you know. And after that, she start to do better and better and better. And this year is when she's doing the best. I mean, you know, her body, you see that the body that she had, the muscles, she looking like a colt. She don't looking like a filly, you know. She got a big neck. I mean, beautiful body. It's a really good looking horse.
Have you had many offers for people wanting to purchase her after that win on Friday?
No, Mike, because that filly, I sold before that she won Friday, I sold her 3 weeks before.
Okay.
I mean, she gets sold, okay. I would say, maybe in May 14, May 15, something like that. I sold to these people at TaylorMade.
Yes.
And I sold him for, you know, for good money, and you know they have a couple partners with the horse. So this is the first race that she running with with the new owners.
I see that now. Yeah, I looked at the chart from the Derby City distaff, and she ran, of course, in your name there, and then you sold her in between the distaff and the Bed of Roses, of course, the new connections. It's great yes. that you're still training the filly, though. A lot of times when you end up selling a horse, the new owners say, wait a minute, we want to send it to another trainer. It's great that they're letting you train her.
Yeah, the thing, Mike, is the deal was with the horse is after that she finished Terran Churchill, Marshall Taylor, he wants to buy the horse. So he want to give me some kind of money. So finally, when they X-ray the horse, he called me back and he said, you know, Juan, my dad and my uncle, they thinking there's too much risk to buy the horse for that kind of money. What do you think if we do this? I give you a little bit less, and you keep the horse training for one race. Everything was in the contract, Mike,
oh,
you know.
Great.
And I was supposed to keep the horse for one race, and Marshall told me that if this filly win grade 3 or grade 2, I will take 100,000 more. And if this filly win a grade 3, I'm sorry, a grade 1, I want to take $300,000 more. So
oh,
this
wow.
was with the deal that I made it with them and with the contract, you know. So after the race, they was supposed to take the horse somewhere else. But the owners, you know, they told me that I did a good job, and they want to keep it a horse for me so she will stay with me for who knows how long, you know.
What a great story. That is so cool. And there are so many ways that these deals can come together in racing, and I'm so glad that this all worked out for you and that you had the success you had last Friday, because I know how much this filly has meant from you. You know, you just said how much this filly has meant to you from day one, and I think that's fantastic, Juan. Talking with Juan Arregada on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. Juan, this isn't the first time that you've had success with a filly and ended up selling that filly to another connection and making out pretty well. And I'm talking about Estilio Femenino, who you trained a few years back.
Yeah, Mike. I mean, I've been pretty lucky. You know, I would say pretty lucky, because a couple of people sometimes they say that, no, Juan, this is lucky can be a one time, but you already been sold 3 horses, and you know, this is not luck. It's something else. And I don't know, I'm still thinking, Mike, that it's when you go to the sale, you know, and you see so many horses, so many babies, you know, and you don't have really the kind of money they spend, like hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever, you know. You only have to see whatever you can spend, you know, and you try to be very careful and not screw anything up, because, you know, you spend $20,000 on one horse and it come out no good. I mean, it's $20,000. For little people like me, it's a lot of money. So
yeah.
In 2017, Mike, I borrowed my first horse. I went to the OBS, to the same sale, to Ocala, and I paid for this filly $9,500. She was by Midnight Lou. She was the same year that was Midnight Bisou, the same year.
Yep.
And a year later, I sold the filly for $350,000 to these people from Kentucky, Pete Bradley. Estias Musin used to train in this filly. She did it okay, you know, but it was how I started to do okay with babies. And a couple months ago, before I sold this filly, a couple months ago, I sold another filly to Mr. Billy Matu, whose name was Before You. I sold for $100,000. I mean, she don't do too good now. She's been running a couple races, not too good. But I've been pretty successful, Mike. Thank God, you know, I'm pretty lucky, guys. And I hope keep going, you know?
Yeah, I think because of the fact, Juan, that you are not a big operation like Steve Asmussen, like Todd Pletcher, or you know, Billy Mott. You don't have those, number one, those quality horses like that right off the bat, and you don't have those numbers that they have, that when an opportunity like this comes along, you almost have to take it, right? You have to take the money, and you can't get caught up in the emotion of how much you like the horse. Is that right?
Right. The thing is, Mike, you know, and probably you know about this, so many things can happen with horses. You know, today one horse can be the value of $400,000, and tomorrow the horse don't buy, the value can go down. You know, it's play with race horses, you know, it's a hard business. It's not easy, you know. And what happened, I meet this guy, Marshall Taylor, you know, who is a really good person, to talk to with him and make deal, make business with him. So finally, I decide to sell this filly to him. I was not too happy about it, Mike, but you know something, I do this for a living, you know. And one of the main reasons that I sold this filly is because I know when she will get done with racing, I know she will have a good home. This is one of the reasons that I sold her, because Taylor May is one of the best farms in Kentucky. So yeah. I was very excited for me, you know, sold this filly to these people. You know, they are such a great people, and I know that she will have a good home.
Is it hard, Juan, especially with this filly, talking about Estilio Talentoso, is it sometimes hard, or was it hard at any point to make that decision? I know the money was good. I know they decided to keep the horse in training with you, but you talked about how special this filly was to you and to your career. How does a trainer put emotion aside and not get caught up in the emotion and just, like you just said, approach it as a business? How do you do it?
I mean, Mike, it's not an easy decision. Like when you got to do it, because it's many things coming, you know, together. You know, I'm the kind of trainer. I'm only a trainer. You know, I'm the kind of guy that I like to, you know, if I have to groom my horses, I do it. If I have to gallop my horses, I get on my own horses. You know, I'm the exercise rider too. So I know if I have to shoe my horses, put shoes on the horses, I know how to do it too. So I do a lot of stuff with my horses. You know that for me, these animals, they are very special, you know, because I spend a lot of time with them doing stuff in the barn, working with, you know, one thing, another. So it's not something like, I'm the trainer and I can tell the guys what to do and that's it. No, I know how to do a lot of different things with horses. And this is what made me sometimes so emotional when something like that happened to me, like with the horse, the last couple of races, because I remember my when I was walking a couple of months ago, I was walking with my horse to Keeneland, to the paddock for the race. And I saw the track so beautiful, so many people, and I start to feel my tears come out from my eyes. And I said, Jesus, Juan, what's wrong with you? You don't even start on the horse, you already start to crying. I mean, I was so emotional because I'm a horseman, you know, and that stuff made me like feel like it's something really special, you know?
Yeah, such a great story. Juan Arregada, my special guest here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Juan, how many horses do you have in your barn right now?
Right now I have 20, Mike. I have 17 horses that I own, and this filly, and two other horses that I have with another owner. I have 20 horses total.
We talked earlier, we touched on it earlier, about your family, and I mentioned you grew up in Peru. You've been around horses your entire life. You come from a family that was involved with racing. Take me back to the beginning, Juan. Where did the love of horse racing begin for you?
I mean, Mike, this is something, you know, it's very special because what happened, my father, he was a really good horseman. My father was from Chile, so he came in very young to Peru. So when I first came into the United States in 2004, I started to do good. I used to own horses, you know, that at the same time I was trainer, you know, and I was doing good. Win couple races, making a little money, you know. And my dad, he always used to say, because he used to be a guy that he liked to talk to me every day. And he always used to tell me, said, son, why don't go to the sale and buy a baby? You're a lucky guy. You will do good. And Mike, I don't know why I was so mad with my dad when he used to tell me that. I used to find so many excuses to don't do it. Dad, you think this is easy, this is very hard, I don't have no time, and stuff like that. So finally, Mike, my dad passed away in February 2016. So now it's coming the next year, 2017, and I decide to go to the sale. First time in my life I went to the sale in 2017, and I bought this filly, Estilo Femenino. So made me feel like my dad teach me, you see, you don't want to listen to me, looking what happened now. And looking all the stuff that happened after that, it's incredible. I feel like when I talking about that, made me so upset about to listen my dad. But it's whatever happened.
Yeah, it's amazing, Juan. I was listening to your story and just kind of thinking back to, you know, the times that I worked with my father and the things that he would tell me. And, of course, at that age, I knew better, and I didn't want to listen to him. And, you know, after he was gone, you start thinking about some of these things, and you look back on it, and you say, you know, I'm doing now some of those things that he told me to do back then that I didn't want to do. You know, and they're working out, and it's incredible the way life takes those little twists and turns, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, this is what I try to, you know, sometimes to explain people. Let's say, you know, always the first thing that we have to learn is listen. A lot of people, we don't like to listen. You know, we're thinking that whatever we're doing is the right thing. And sometimes it's not the right thing, and it's nothing wrong to listen, you know. And this is, I should do better probably like years ago, but how I was so stubborn, and I don't want to listen my dad, you know, always find excuses to don't do it, and you know, but thank God it's never late to do stuff. Mike, now is coming the sales again. I'm leaving tonight for the OBS because they have sales today, tomorrow, and Friday, and I leave in tonight. I want to spend 2 days down there to see if I can buy a couple more babies.
Yeah, what a great, great first half of the program. We're going to continue with this conversation when we come back after this short commercial break. Stay with me, visiting with trainer Juan Arregada on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasic Tipton.
Join us in June. Fasic Tipton's Santa Anita 2-Year-Olds in Training Sale returns in 2021 following a successful inaugural sale in 2019. This year's catalog features 2-Year-Olds by leading national and California-based sires such as Constitution, Curlin, Empire Maker, Grayson, Hard Spun, Into Mischief, Liam's Map, Malibu Moon, Medaglia d'Oro, Munnings, Nyquist, Pioneer of the Nile, Square Eddie, and Smiling Tiger. The Fasic Tipton Santa Anita 2-Year-Olds in Training Sale will take place Wednesday, June 23rd at Santa Anita Park in Arcadia, California, with the Under Tack Show scheduled for Monday, June 21st. Where will you be?
This is Trainer Talk, presented by Fasic Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they approach the quarter mile pole, Chiz approved the leader, and here's Friendly Fella. Gallardo sends him up the challenge second. Then it's four lengths farther back. Native Hawk is now underway third. Hard West remains fourth as they turn for home. 3/16 of a mile still to run. Friendly Fella up on the outside. Here comes Native Hawk down the center of the racetrack. Along the rail, Hard West gaining ground. Here's Native Hawk and the 10-pound apprentice. Arigata will score his first career victory. Congratulations to the Arigata family. Hard West was second, Friendly Fella third.
Oh, what a moment that was. Back on April 16th of this year, Richard Grunder with the call at Tampa Bay Downs, Native Hawk under young jockey Nicholas Arigata, getting his first career win on his first day as a jockey, his second ever career mount, and he did it for a horse named Native Hawk, who was trained by his father, Juan Arigata, who is my special guest here on Trainer Talk presented by Fasic Tipton. We'll talk about that moment coming up in just a second. But before we do, I just want to remind you that if you missed any portion of this Trainer Talk program or any of our Trainer Talk shows, any of our shows for that matter, all you have to do is head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can listen to the podcast of this show and all of our shows at your leisure, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on Apple Podcasts. Plus, you want to follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And if you haven't already done so, when you're on our website, make sure you sign up to receive our weekly newsletters. We send out two email newsletters keeping you up to date on guests and programming content and all of our shows and special programming too. You can sign up for free on our site at horseracingradio.net. Well, Juan, that moment, that call we just heard of Native Hawk winning at Tampa Bay Downs on April 16th, what a moment. We talked about how special it was winning your first graded stakes race on Friday. I can imagine this was right up there too.
Oh, it was another special day, Mike. You know, my son, he used to working for Arnold Delacour for probably like the last 3 years. So I will say, you know, thank you very much, Arnold Delacour, to make my kid be better and better because he helped him a lot. You know, and working for him, it was one of the best experience, you know. And another thing is, in the beginning of this year, Mike, he decided to be a jockey. So I say, Nico, are you right? You want to be a jockey? He said, yeah, Dad. He was a little bit overweight. You know, he used to weigh like 125 pounds, 130 pounds. So I start to see him. He started to lose weight and lose weight and lose weight. So finally, he said, Dad, can you help me out a little bit to go and talk to the steward in Tampa and see what can I get done so I can start with this? And I start to help him out, you know. So finally, one day he called me. It was a Saturday. And he said, Dad, the steward told me that tomorrow, Sunday, you can put me in horses. If we got an entry for tomorrow, you can put me in horses. And I said, okay. So I went back to my condition book, Mike, and I look him up, and I see this claimant for 8,000 open. And I told my wife, I said, you know something, I want to put Native Hawk for 8,000. And she said, are you crazy? What happens if somebody will take it? Because my wife, she loved that horse. She loved it, her horse. And I say, honey, sorry, but my son is first. If Native Hawk get claiming, I can do something else to buy the horse back. But let me make him win his first race because that will make me very happy. And it's exactly what happened. I put him for 8,000. Thank God nobody took it. The horse he won by 2 or 3 lengths. So now I walk him back to the barn. I was so excited. I was crying because, you know, See your son next to you like a jockey. I mean, it was a bliss, you know? And I coming back to the barn, my wife was in the barn, and she said, oh, she gave me a hug. And I say, honey, the horse is yours now. And she said, what do you mean? Retire the horse. We don't run him anymore. whatever he did it today, I don't have to run in him anymore. I mean, he's a 9-year-old. He win, like, I don't know how many races. And that day, it was the last race that he ran. And I retired him. Now he's a pony in my barn.
Wow. Wow. Fantastic. Watching your son, giving him a leg up, first of all. Take me back to the pre-race, Juan. As he comes into the paddock, you meet him. I don't know what you said to him before the race. What was that conversation like?
I mean, this is the good thing about, it's not because he's my son. This is the good thing that he have. He listened to me a lot. And whatever I told him to do in that race is exactly what he did it. And I used to be Jackie, and I when I talked with him, I said, don't forget, when I'm talking to you, remember something, I used to be Jackie too. So if you watch the race, he rode a horse, like, very smart. It was a very smart race. He sat behind the speed, you know, and he made the run exactly in the stretch. I mean, it was a pretty cool race. I mean, I was very excited the way how he rode a horse.
When you look at him on a horse, and of course, being a former jockey, you know what it takes to win races and to be a good jockey. When you look at him on a horse, what does Nicholas show you that impresses you?
You know, Mike, I'm very impressed with him. I never told him that because I don't want that his head get little big, you know. But I'm very impressed because the way how he's been doing. You know, and I still, I know that he have long way to learn, you know, because in the stretch, he's still looking like a little weak, you know. He's a young rider, you know. But the what I like more about him is he's very smart. He has a lot of patience. And always I tell him, jockeys, to be a good jockey, they have to have patience. If you don't have no patience, you won't be a good jockey. And good thing that he's been listening to me.
There have been some amazing jockeys to come out of Peru. Maybe Nicholas Arrigata, the next in line?
I hope so, Mike. I mean, this is a tough profession, you know. Be a jockey is not easy. You know, you have so many jockeys and so many good jockeys. The only thing I hope, like, he keep doing good. And, you know, he's such a hardworking and be a jockey. For me, like his father, you know, made me help him, you know, because what happened now, Mike, so many young people, you see they doing stuff wrong, you know, and for me, have my son, and he want to be a jockey, who better than me to help him out, you know, and now whatever he need, whatever can I do for him, I always there for him.
Yeah, fantastic. He's off to a great start, too. He's ridden 21 horses so far. He's won 6 of his first 21 races. That's a good percentage. That's pretty darn good. And we wish Nicholas all the best going forward. There's that cool picture, by the way, Juan, that is posted with the story on Pollock Report, the story of you and Nicholas and how this came about for his first career win. It's a picture of you and your son alongside the track, and Nicholas is in your black and white silks with the white JA on the front. I know his mother and grandmother and sister all watched the race together on television back in Lima, Peru. This was a win that was very much a win for the whole family, but a win that really went beyond the sport of horse racing too, didn't it?
Yep, it was. Yep.
Yeah, super special, and congratulations to Nicholas Arrigata and to his father, Juan Arrigata, who is my special guest here on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. Juan, any other family members involved in the sport of thoroughbred racing right now, or is it just you?
Yeah, my brother, he owns horses. You know, he working in right now, they move from Loro Park. He used to be in Loro Park. Now they move it to Timonio. for the situation that, you know, that happened in Loro. So my brother, he owns horses, and he working like a groom. He does his own work. And exactly tonight, I going with him to the sale. You know, I invite him to go with me to the sale, because I've been pushing him really hard to buy baby, because I would love that he can find something good like I did it, you know, because I would like that he do this like good like me, you know.
Yeah, it'd be great if he could follow in your footsteps and kind of experience some of that same success that you've been able to experience. When you go to a sale, what are some of the things that you're looking for in a young horse, Juan, that gives you the idea that that horse could end up being a runner?
You know, Mike, I'm very weird guys. A lot of people, they look in the sire, the mom produce whatever, you know. I never look the book, the catalog. I never look that thing. The only thing that I can do, the first thing I like to do is be by myself in the sales. I don't like to be around people, because when people talk to me, they destroy me, and I don't like it. I like to be by myself, and I like to walk back and forth, and see the babies. And I don't know, I like it. For me, race horses, they have to have, when you see horses, they need to have, like, you. I don't know if it's me, but I see in the face when the horses have a little talent, you know, and it's, you know, I don't know, the eyes, the face, the body. I like horses with muscles, you know, because when the muscles is when the horses have the power, you know, and I like horses, like, I know very into and little horses, you know, I know sometimes little horses can run too. But I like horses, you know, with good size, good muscles, and it's what I'm looking for when I go to the sale.
That's interesting. So you talk about not even looking at the catalog. So pedigree and family history and all of those types of things don't come into play for you. It's all about the horse and them looking like an athlete.
Exactly. Right. I mean, You know, Mike, I don't really have the money, you know, to look him up, breeding and stuff, and say, yeah, you know, I can go and bet in the horse and spend $250,000 or $300,000. I don't have that kind of money, you know, to do it. So I like the way how I'm doing, so I want to keep it that way better.
You said that you're... father had always encouraged you to go to the sale and pick out horses at the sale, and after he passed, you finally started doing it, and as you said, you wished that you would listen to him sooner. Your father, Raul, trained a horse by the name of Alcali in Peru, and a horse that he trained for the first, what, three starts of his career, I believe, and he kind of did the same thing that you are now doing. He ended up selling the horse, and the horse went on to have some big success for Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott.
Yes, Mike. I don't know how you find out that, but this is true. Yeah, in 2000, probably like, got to be like in 2008, or between 2008 2010, the horse, he was undefeated there. The horse, they borrowed the horse here in Kinland. He was a yearling, and they took the horse to Peru. And the horse, I guess, if I'm not wrong, he ran it like five or six times in Peru, and he was undefeated. And they sold the horse for $350,000 or $400,000, if I'm not wrong. Yes, it's true.
Yeah, it went on to have great success. I think he won the Grade 3 Saranac at Saratoga in 2009, and then the Grade 2 Bowling Green at Saratoga, or was it Bell? I guess that was Saratoga, in 2010. For Bill Mott, so a multiple greatest stakes winner who started his career with your father, Raul. I think that's a fantastic part of your story, Juan. And by the way, I am visiting with Juan Arregata here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Juan, that was 4 years or so after you had moved to the United States. I said you came here 17 years ago in 2004. When you first came here, you started working with some prominent trainers like Anthony Dutrow and Rusty Arnold and the late John Ward, who just passed away right before the Kentucky Derby this year. Tell me about some of the people that helped you when you first came to the United States.
You know, this is something I like, Mike. When you're working with people like them, you know, and you see what you see why they are so successful, you know, and you thinking, you know, and when I used to see these people, and I say, you know, I would like to one day try, at least try to be like them. You know, you never can say, like, I want to be like them, but at least try to be like them. And working hard, you know, and see what happened. I mean, it was pretty good for me working for that kind of trainers. Like, an example, like, Anthony Dutro was, you know, like, 100% professional, that man. You know, it was very nice for me working for him. And he's the kind of person that he don't like to talk too much, but he like to keep in track everything, you know. And young work, everybody's different. They have a different system how to work, but and then it's almost the same because they doing stuff, you know, like, you know. And it's good for people when you wanna learn. And you wanna work with people like they know what they're doing, and they win races, because when people win races, it's because they're doing something right.
I am a huge fan of Rusty Arnold, and I was a huge fan of John Ward too. I thought both of them, just as people, were just really good people. Forget about good horse trainers, which they both were, but and both are in Rusty Arnold's case. But I thought, you know, just good people. And I think Anthony Dutra was probably the same way for you, right?
Right. I mean, the difference with me, Mike, I never really worked with George Arnold too much because,
okay.
I don't know, probably you know that because you're from Kentucky. George Arnold have his assistant, Jack Bohanna, for so many years. So I used to working with Jack, and I never see Mr. Arnold too much in the barn. I guess Jack Bohanna working for him, oof, I don't know, maybe more than 20 years. So, but they have everything, you know, under control.
When you first came to the United States in 2004, was it difficult, Juan, to get your foot in the door, or did you already know some people here? Did you have something set up before you made the move? How did it all come about?
I come into United States. My best friend that is here now, he's working for my stadium. He's assistant training and fellow here for my stadium. I mean, he's my best friend, and he helped me out to come down here to United States. His name is Jose Vargas. And when I first came here, it was tough. I mean, United States is a different world, you know. It's nothing to do with my country. And time go by, and now that I live in this country, and my something I wanted to tell you, not only because I'm doing good, and I told my wife a couple times too, I say, I love United States. For me, United States, it was the best of the best that happened in my life. This country for me means a lot. Because when you come in from countries like my country, you know, and you see so many poor people and so many bad things, like, of course, everywhere you see bad things, you know, but United States is a country that, for me, I want to talk about me, like, open the door and made me feel like it told me, like, you know, Juan, you want to be good? I will help you out. Do it. If you think that you can do it, and this is what I appreciate this country so much. And here's one thing I can tell you. I love United States. For me, United States is the best country in the world. Nobody is better than this country.
Juan Arregada here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton, the native of Peru, doing extremely well here in the United States now, and it is because he has worked his tail off from the minute that he arrived here in the States and is now paying off for him. He comes from a family that is very much steeped in horse racing tradition, as you've heard throughout the program here today, and really enjoying the visit on this edition of Trainer Talk. Juan, when you think back on your time here in the United States and really even getting started in Peru, who are some of the horses that are always going to stand out to you?
Well, here?
Yeah, that you're never going to forget. We talked about the big win in the Grade 3 Bed of Roses on Friday, but I know there had to be other horses that you've been around that are always going to hold that special place in your heart.
You know, I used to have the horse, my Tiger Blood. Tiger Blood, yep. I borrowed a horse, like private, a couple years ago in Miami. I used to go to Miami before. And he was running really bad. And I borrowed a horse for $3,500. And I bring the horse to Tampa. And he win like 7 races with me. And I run it for first time on the turf. And the horse, he running for 12.5 furlong on the turf. He won easy. And after the race, I run him back and allow an optional claim 16,000. And my wife told me, say, Juan, don't run in the horse for 16,000 because the horse will get claiming. And I told him, I said, you know, what do you want me to do? I make almost $100,000 with a horse. And exactly, my, the horse get claiming. And Stickles Alice took the horse, and he won like 8 races after that. I mean, that horse, it was very special for me. My filly that I sold, Estilo Femenino, and a couple of the horses, like, probably I don't have in my mind right now, but this business, I the only thing I can say, Mike, I appreciate all my horses, because thanks to them, I am what I am right now.
You know, we talked earlier in the show about a trainer not getting emotionally attached to his horses and treating the business as a business, which is what you have to do if you're going to be successful. It sounds to me like your wife, is it Allison, becomes very attached to some of the horses that you have in your barn.
Yes. I mean, she does... She does a lot in the barn. She helped me. I mean, you know, she's like kind of the woman that she always looking like little details that I can see, and she see stuff, and she turn around and come into the office and say, Juan, do you see this? No. Go and look that. Juan, do you see that? No. Go and see that. I mean, she always is behind me and tell me whatever I miss in the barn. And she's pretty good. She's pretty good, and she's a hardworking. I mean, sometimes, you know, like days that we horses are walking, I like to get up like 6 o'clock in the morning, and she don't let me. She made me wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, and she wanna keep push me and push me and push me to keep doing better. I mean, she is pretty good. It's one of the good things that I have in my life too. I mean, she's pretty good.
Behind every good man is a great woman, and it sounds like Allison is just that for you, Juan, and very happy that the two of you are having this kind of success. We're down inside the final furlong, the final 5 minutes of the program this morning, and what a visit it's been. If you could pick one trainer, Juan, to spend the day with and pick their brain and dine with them, you know, enjoy lunch, enjoy dinner with them, who would that one trainer be for you if you could only pick one?
You know, Mike, for me, the guy, he is my idol. It's Bob Buffer. I am very upset whatever all the situation that he's around, you know, but if you will ask me, like horseman, for me, that guy is amazing. It's the best of the best that I see him in racing. I mean, the way, you know, how he talk. I was in Churchill Down a couple months ago, and because he ran the filly that, you know, the filly that beat this Estilo Talentoso, the way how he stay in the track, you know, he has so much talent, you know, and I was when I drove to Keeneland, I'm sorry, to Chuchu now. I was so excited. I said, Jesus, you know, now I'm going to the state band. Maybe I can meet Mr. Buffer there. And I was just me and two other people, and Mr. Buffer wasn't in a different barn. But this is the guy that, for me, is my idol, you know?
No, Juan, just a few minutes left here to wrap it up. Great answer to that question, by the way. I always like to end the show asking trainers to let me know something about them that we haven't talked about yet. So maybe something that Juan Arregada enjoys doing away from the racetrack. When you finally get time to be away from the track, what other hobbies or interests do you enjoy?
You know, Mike, I can tell you that I'm pretty boring, guys. I don't like to do much. The only thing I like to do is I get up 4 o'clock in the morning, I go to the track, I work with my horses, I come back around 11:30, 12. And the first thing that I do when I come into my house is I open my computer and look in races, because Aquabase is my favorite thing, and because I like to climbing horses, you know, and looking my horse, look for horses to climbing. And sometimes my wife, you know, she talking to me, and I don't even know what she say, but you know, for me, my computer, and after that, it's coming like 3:30, 4 o'clock p.m., I got to go back, you know, because I like to watch him when they feeding my horses. I like to be there, you know, and I spend two more hours there, that everything is done, you know. I check the barn around, that everything is fine, and I laugh. I mean, I don't like to do anything different that is not about horses.
You have a daughter, too, I guess a couple years old. If she comes to you one day and says, Daddy, I want to be a horse trainer, what do you tell her?
Oh, I would say, go ahead. I hope, the only thing I hope is that if that time coming, Mike, I hope I can help her, you know. I know that kind of people that say, no, how you want to be a horse trainer, or how you, no. Because if I was successful, if I am successful, whatever I'm doing, what I don't want to let my daughter be a horse trainer. It's one of the most beautiful things that you can do in life.
Juan, it's been a delight to hear your story. Thank you so much for taking the time. And we want to wish you all the best going forward. Safe travels to the sale, and all the best with the horses you're still training, my friend.
Mike, thank you very much for the interview, and I appreciate that, and I hope can talk to you soon.
All right, Juan Arregada here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. My thanks to Juan. My thanks to my producer, Lee Delapina, in our Lexington studio. If you missed any portion of the show, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast at your leisure and follow us at HRRN on Twitter. For Juan Arregada, for Lee Delapina, I'm Mike Pena. Thanks for listening to Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.